o'clock, and we will start with a moment of silence followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Crawford, would you call the roll, please?
Certainly, we have Eric Davidson.
Here.
Mike Hill.
Here.
Sonia Hurt.
Here.
Eric Lewis.
Here.
Ryan Lopez.
Here.
Richard May.
Present.
And Mary Lou Stewart.
Here. Okay, we'll go on to the consent agenda. Items listed below will be enacted by one motion. If separate discussion is desired on an item, that item may be removed from the consent agenda and placed on the regular agenda at the request of the council member. Approval of bills, $615,147.88. Approval of payroll, $759,154.28. Approval of December 23, 2024 city council meetings. Purchase of transformers. Approval of extension of lease of suite 2000D for the City Hall Banner Bank building for a 30-year term. Councilmember Hurt excused absence for the December 23rd, 2024 city council meeting. Authorization for the city manager to accept an easement for the cruise boundary line adjustment. Correcting a scrivener's error on the recently approved IBEOA CBA. I have a motion, please. Mr. Lewis, thank you.
Second.
Mr. Lopez, thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Abstain.
Any
abstain?
Abstain. Abstain, okay. Passed 6-0. Moving on to council action items. First one is interlocal jail facilities use agreement for correction services between Whatcom County and the City of Plain. Chief Funk, please.
Hey, good evening, Madam Mayor. What we're asking for is the council to authorize the city manager to sign into agreement with Whatcom County for jail use. As you know, Whatcom County they offer correctional services here in the county. They're the only jail in Whatcom County. The last use agreement we had is in 2018 with the option to extend it, but only for a certain number of times. It's exhausted the extensions, and so we are asking for a renewal or a new signature on the new agreement.
Are there any questions for the chief? Does someone want to make a motion to approve?
Second
here?
I'll second.
Mr. Hill, Mr. Lopez. Any discussion before we move on? Okay, staff recommends City Council authorize the City Manager to enter into the interlocal jail facilities use agreement for correction services. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Any abstaining? That is passed 7-0. Moving on to number two, Widner Associates, FEMA 4418 DRCAT.
The
management proposal, Mr. Gandhi, please.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. In 2018, FEMA declared a disaster with city of Plains infrastructure. Several infrastructure was damaged. So we got our disaster funds from FEMA, which we're working with, and Ronald Widener, an associate, would be helping in preparing the AE, advanced engineering, all the documentation to work with FEMA. So basically how it works is that FEMA have allocated certain funds for it, and they cover for 87.5%. And the cost that has been depicted is only, we will be only paying 12.5% of $34,000, which comes to around $4,400 only. So we request council to accept the proposal from Wyman and Associates.
Are there any questions?
So do I understand here we'd be voting to accept money from the federal government?
No, we would be approving Widener and Associate to work on behalf with FEMA to get the engineering design and estimate prepared so we can go further on the construction phase. please.
Okay, so this is a vendor to do stuff that will eventually be paid by FEMA?
Yes.
That's what we're voting yes on. Thank you.
And did you say this was from 2018?
2018, okay. Yes.
Is this, what's been the dragon of the sea with it?
It's a FEMA, actually. They declared the disaster happened in 2018, and they declared in 2019, like, and it keeps following up with FEMA.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
So when do you think they'll actually get around to repairing the road that's left off going to City Island on Great Harbor Road? That's county. Is that county?
Sorry.
That's not in this proposal.
No, that's not there, actually.
Are we talking about the bid on U Street?
Yeah.
Right, well, at the end down there?
That's also part of your project, actually.
Okay. Well, since this is still related, do you have any information on what's going on there?
The Army Corps of Engineers that run that one out there by the water.
By the Semiamu, the parkway?
Yeah, Drayton Harbor Road that's left off for, what was it, 6 years ago? And the residents are still waiting.
Madam Mayor.
I have these.
That road is under county jurisdiction, not us. And as Director Gunning said, separate from this project. We're under design for U Avenue. Our plan is to be out for bid yet this year, and likely construction to start this year. The only updates we've got from the county is that they're working through the FEMA process, and that's as much as we have.
So we still don't know anything for those people.
So they're not getting any speedier service from FEMA than we are.
Thank you.
Okay, any other discussion? Could I have a motion, please, to authorize the city manager to execute the project? Seconded?
Second.
Davidson and Mr. Lopez. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Any abstaining? That's passed 7-0. Okay, moving on into ordinance 25-3022, Resort Semiamu Master Plan, Semiamu Spit, PUD Amendment 2024. Mr. Wayne, please.
Yes, thank you, Council. I'm just going to get this up and running here. All right, so this is a somewhat complicated proposal. I'm going to try to make it simple and just take you through this. So as the slide indicates, this is a closed record review by City Council based off the hearing examiner's recommendation, who conducted a public hearing on this. I'll just tell you a little bit about the project. So the proposal is actually just a planned unit development amendment. And this is defined as a type 2 city council decision. Just turn off this little quick. Sorry about that. Oh, we got lots of options here. Okay. And so as a quasi-judicial decision, this, you know, we have to consider just the information contained in the hearing examiner's recommendation, and then the city council makes a final decision on this. So what are we talking about here? This looks like it's recording me on the screen. Okay. These are the properties that we're talking about on Semiamu Spit. Can you turn that recording off right there? Yeah. Thank you. I'm having a technical difficulty here. So approximately 5 properties, 17 acres depicted on your screen. I'm just going to walk you through a little bit more detail here. So this is a fairly narrow scope PUD amendment. When we were considering this originally, we talked about potentially doing this as a modification, which would just be an administrative approval that I, you know, as Community Development Services Director, could sign off and approve. But we decided that there was enough change in here to warrant triggering this as an amendment. So we actually reviewed this as a PUD amendment, which requires a full public process, hearing examiner, and then a city council final decision. So quite a bit of a public process. And
Ryan, your chair's up.
It's okay, we're all having a little technical difficulty. So this is really just we're redistributing parking and some residential uses on Semiamu Spit. And there's a couple important pieces here that there's actually no construction proposed as part of this application. And that, you know, the applicant would need additional permits, including review under the Shoreline Master Program and our Critical Areas Ordinance. So again, no construction, environmental review is not done. And we did that because this is City Council's one real opportunity to review this. If City Council turned this down and denied it or amended the application, we would want the applicant to, you know, that would save the applicant from developing detailed construction plans and going through that environmental review process. This is a, you know, PUD master plan, so kind of high-level master planning document. Again, construction is not included here. So the details of the application are really, we're consolidating the Semiahmoo Marina Condo Association planned parking for track day and temporarily located on lot 2A and lot 3. In other words, there's 208 conceptual parking spaces in the Semiahmoo master plan. And so now there's a plan to develop 278 planned parking spaces. Again, we don't have engineered design drawings, so that number could change slightly, and that the permitting of those permits will be evaluated at a later time. This is the PUD site plan, the conceptual site plan. And there was a pretty big difference when we were looking at this, you know, comparing these drawings in the Resort Semiahmoo master plan that I'm about to show you. They're, I would call them more like pencil sketches, and so they're not detailed site plans. And when we're counting up the number of parking stalls, it's not exactly an apples to apples comparison. This is a bit more like, you know, conceptual to planned site plan level drawings. Okay, so that consolidation of the parking is the primary proposal, but there's also some public parking that would be provided, in hotel overflow parking on lot 4, and reconfiguring that parking would allow, once that parking lot is constructed, of course, per plans and permitted and signed off by the city, it would allow City Council to release an easement for that temporary parking that is on property not owned by the Semiahmoo Marina Condo Association. It's owned by, you know, DBY's, you know, who owns a big piece of that Semiahmoo Strip property. I'll tell you more about that in a second. So this kind of cleans up a bit of a complicated situation where there's a temporary parking easement on essentially property not owned by the marina, and it would move all the marina parking onto property that would eventually be owned by the Semiahmoo Marina. So that frees up a situation that's currently existing on Semiahmoo Spit.
I have a question before you leave this slide, please.
Sure.
So I see move 10 residential units being referred to twice. Is that 10 potential theoretical units that are not yet built?
Yes, great question.
So this is not referring to already built buildings?
Yes, none of this is already built. Or some of it actually is some of the parking, but these units are planned units. They're approved under the Semiahmoo master plan.
Okay, so my second question is here. I see, if I understand this correctly, that between point 3 and point 4 there, 20 residential units of expected future building are being moved to Tract A. Now, would that make Tract A have an abnormal amount of density or an abnormal amount of units, or are we being asked to change anything about what's normally allowed, or is that moving the 20 units into Tract A, leaving Tract A within the normal guidelines of how much density and how much units can be somewhere?
Yeah, it's a pretty modest shift. There's like over 350 units approved out there. So this is just moving 10 little units from over here to there and 10 units from here to there as well.
I guess I'll rephrase my question. If the maximum amount of the track day was supposed to have is 350 units and now we're bumping up to 370, or if moving those 20 units is within some already understood limit?
So it's already defined as some a pre-existing understood limit, if you will. The master plan says you can transfer 10 units from each lot to a different lot already. And it says that in the master plan today.
Okay, so there's no special exception.
No special exception.
Creating too many, more than usual amount. This is already allowed or not.
Exactly.
That's all I wanted to ask you.
Okay, great. So then we talked about moving the 210 units on track day. And here's the conceptual plan. So this is the current Resort Semiahmoo master plan. So you can see how when we're counting parking stalls on there, it's just kind of difficult to get the exact number. In fact, it doesn't say anywhere exactly how many there are. The 2013 mitigated determination of non-significance, the SEPA determination, if you will, has that number 208 in it. But if I could kind of just summarize, really take that parking lot you see there under the letter F, and you would just move that parking right over here to the end of the arrow where it's currently shown, and a couple of the units move around. So that's kind of it. This is what the parking lot could potentially look like. So we would update the master plan to reflect this parking. And in the upper right-hand corner there, you'll see a little separated parking lot. That's public parking. So that would be a developed parking lot to entirely set aside for the public there, which would require or satisfy the requirements of that mitigated determination of non-significance, the SEPA determination from 2013. So this satisfies a number of different requirements. It puts that public parking out there, and it gets the Semiahmoo condo or Semiahmoo Marina Condo Association the parking that they're required to have as well.
So this is on condo property.
This would be, yes, and you can see where their building is right there. That what I just highlighted in red that just popped up on the screen. That's their existing condo office when you pull up. And I would just point out one other thing. That Semiahmoo Marina Condo Association parking is open to the public. They have a little marina cafe store. They want the public to go in there and park and buy, you know, sandwiches or
coffee. Part of it, correction, Alex, part of it is open. Part of it is by permit only.
Good correction, or good point, yes. So you can that is open to the public to go in there. And the rest of it, you know, I mean, this is the marina's parking lot, if you will. Okay, so.
So how many spots are public parking currently, and how many spots will be public parking when this additional 70 spots are put in?
Madam Mayor, yeah. So on this site, there's no public parking right now, and there would be 49 public parking stalls after this is built. Mm-hmm. And then the Semiahmoo Marina Condo Association, you can go visit their facilities, you know, if they're not all reserved.
Currently, there's a real serious problem because there is no actual public parking for the people that want to go and use a potential Clover dock. And since the marina has now blocked off all of their parking, there's basically none.
And I would point out there's actually, there's a couple stalls, I want to say it's 10 stalls on Semiahmoo Parkway as well. That's not really reflected here, but it's been developed as part of public parking on Semiahmoo Spit. Okay, so that is essentially the proposal. This has been through the full review process. There was a community conference at the Semiahmoo Resort back in August that was published in the usual manner. Public notice went out. SEPA review was conducted. We adopted the SEPA determination from 2013. And then the hearing examiner reviewed this. There was a public hearing on November 13th with testimony and a rebuttal period. One of the highlights of the analysis, I'll just read off to you, that the proposed amendment, this is from the hearing examiner, the proposed amendment addresses the reallocation of parking and dwelling units within the pre-approved areas that are fully delineated by the Resort Semiahmoo Master Plan for Development. It would be consistent, assuming City Council approves it, with the master plan policies and would not alter the impact on natural features, you know, on Semiahmoo Spit. This is like from a PUD standpoint, not necessarily a critical areas review. So the conclusion, some conclusions that can be drawn from the hearing examiner's review is that it's been processed in accordance with Type 2 City Council permit procedures. Noticing requirements have been met. The previously issued SEPA determination has been appropriately adopted. The application meets the PUD approval criteria listed in the code. The hearing examiner is recommending four conditions of approval, which are attached to the ordinance and listed in the staff report. And I'll just summarize these briefly. That the Resort Semiahmoo Master Plan pages need to be updated. Number one there. That number two, the mitigated determination of non-significance, that 2013 SEPA applies to all development moving forward. Number three, that this PUD approval will be subject or environmental review, including the critical areas ordinance, can supersedes PUD approval in the future. So environmental review is still necessary for development applications. And that number four, the project, when moving forward with development, must have CC&Rs. That's what our code says. So, so with that, staff concurs with the hearing examiner's recommendation of approval and recommends council approve the proposal, ordinance 25-3022.
Are there any further questions? If not, could I have a motion to...
Motion.
Second. Mr. Lewis and Mr. Hill. Any further discussion before we take a vote?
I'll be abstaining since I own a semi-auto.
So all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And any opposed? So that is 6-0 in favor of approving the Resort Master Semi Plans Fit Plan Unit Development Amendment 2024 as conditioned and reviewed by the hearing examiner. Okay, that's our council action items. We'll move on to commission, committee, and board reports. So the first item on the commission, committee, and board reports are appointment and reappointment of council member liaisons. So I'm just going to read them out to let you know what committees we're talking about. Public Works and Parks is one committee, and Finance is another committee, Library, Boys and Girls, Senior Center, Chamber of Commerce, BTAC, and I'm going to put this in question marks because I'm really not sure what the status is, Incarceration Prevention, that's a small cities committee, Port of Bellingham, Whatcom County Council, Drayton Harbor Shellfish, and WTA. So at the moment, this is what I believe is correct, that on the Public Works and Parks, Mr. Lopez, correct. If there's anybody else that is assigned to this, if there's anybody else that wants to be assigned to this, let me know. So far we have Mr. Lopez.
There's typically only one on that one.
I thought there were two.
I'd be willing to say.
Because I think that was one of the first committees that I was on when I came on council, and I'm sure there was another council member with me. So Finance, there are also two people, and I think Eric, you were on that with me. So, and then the Library, Mr. Lewis has filled that one, and Boys and Girls, you have filled that one. Senior Center, Ms. Hurt has that position. Chamber of Commerce, now I have Mr. May of Chamber of Commerce, but there may be some question. You two can settle this up because Sonia has been attending that, but I had you down for it. BTAC, I do have Sonia Hurt as our representative, and as I say...
If you want to have Councilmember Hurt be the official chamber, that's fine.
Okay. Yeah, as I say, I just want to clarify at the beginning of the year, so we'll start out. So, okay. And incarceration prevention. I at one point had Mr. Lopez, and you asked not to continue. Is that correct?
I was on it 3 years ago.
Okay. So, and I thought you were felt it was a commitment you couldn't continue. Okay, so I will scratch you. And then I had Mr. Davidson on that at some point. Are you willing to keep that on?
Yeah.
Okay. Port of Bellingham is Mr. Hill. Whatcom County Council is Mr. May. Drayton Harbor Shellfish is Ms. Hurt. And WTA is myself. So that is...
Now, Mayor, I'd like to have the Drayton Harbor go to someone else if I haven't been able to keep up with all of them.
Okay. So the Drayton Harbor Shellfish is open. If anybody would like to step forward for that, just let me know. Otherwise, I think...
So once a month?
It's less than that.
Okay,
seems to be extremely complex and additional.
Okay, so then that completes that. If anybody else has any changes they want to make, just get in touch with me. Otherwise, that's taken care of. Okay, then moving on to Public Works and Park Advisory Board.
Thank you, Madam. We have canceled the meeting on 5 January for the FEMA and Palsworth. They basically wanted to reschedule the dates. Initially, they had it on every second Thursday. They wanted to reschedule it on Tuesdays, first Tuesday or third Tuesday before the council, so that the update could be provided to council. So we are still scheduling for the February meeting. The board members are still deciding whether it will be 9 or 9:30. So I should have an answer by this week, and we'll face the meeting for February. In the meantime, we have two openings for the board members, for the parks, PBAM and parks. So that's all for me.
Thank you. Planning Commission?
Yes, Council. Planning Commission met last Thursday. There was no action taken other than to reschedule their next meeting to February 20th. But we did talk a lot about the comprehensive plan, the update process, and all the work they have to do. So it was kind of a non-action meeting. And then I can give you a Tourism Advisory Committee update as well. The Blaine Tourism Advisory Committee also met last week on January 7th. They had an hour and 20-minute meeting. Talked about a lot of different stuff, of course. A couple of the highlights coming out of that meeting were directed staff to move forward with the request for proposals to manage the Blaine Welcome Center. So we're hoping to get that issued, working with the city manager to get that out potentially later this week, as soon as possible. And then there was some discussion about coordinating like a business survey with our Chamber of Commerce. So we'll be working on that moving forward in the next couple weeks. Any other significant items that I missed there?
No, I would just like to elaborate that we talked about having the chamber survey their members to determine how the events that we're staging actually are affecting them, to find out if they're actually worthwhile. Because there were some that I was concerned that we were putting so much money into, are they really yielding more than we invested? So hopefully that comes about. They seem very positive about it, thinking that they can do it, and we can get that information.
Is it?
Moving on then to Department of Reports, City Manager, please.
Thanks, Mayor. One item tonight, negotiations with DEA for the design proposal for Bell Road are complete, and all paperwork is submitted to the state. So we're waiting. We anticipate probably a 3-week approval process from the state of Washington. And then if they give us the green light, we'll bring the contract back to you for consideration in February to begin official design of the overpass on Bell Road. That's all I've got.
Thank you. Public Works Department, Mr. Gandhi.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. My first update is for the Volunteer Street Channelization Project. So, Walker Street is half completed in the roundabout, which is completely open for traffic. We have suspended the construction for the season right now, looking at the temperature and weather conditions. So, the contractor will be back in spring to complete the rest of the project. Another important announcement is that downtown revitalization project is out for bid. We opened the bid on January 8th and closing on the 31st of January. So we anticipate to have a little bit of interest from the contractor on the project. We also have RFQ request for quotation for our GIS mapping system. And that's out for bid too on January 8th and closes on the 29th of January. We'll see how contractor did on that one.
Mr. Gandhi, my understanding, we already have a GIS system. Are we updating it, replacing it, or what?
So we do have a GIS system, but the accuracy is very far what it shows on the GIS. So basically, we are almost, whatever our GIS system shows, we are almost way by. Some places we are way by 12 feet. So if a line shows up here, it might be the line may be 12 feet away. So we wanted to make sure that whatever we show you on the GIS is accurate to coordinate the system.
Okay, good. Community Development Services, Mr. Weiner.
Yes, thank you. Well, we're just continuing to work on our, you know, the comprehensive plan update and continuing to, you know, develop goals and policies. We do have some draft housing goals and policies we'll be trying out in front of the Planning Commission before too long, but we're continuing to wait for Whatcom County. So Whatcom County Council meets January 28th, and they're going to be talking about this multi-jurisdictional resolution that we would all adopt to set preliminary growth numbers. And then they're also considering this, the collective city's growth proposal. So every city's given Whatcom County a growth proposal, right? We've talked a little bit about this. So hopefully after that county council meeting on the 28th, we'll have a little guidance on this, on what we can expect for growth numbers, and then we can move forward with a bit more accuracy. But until then, the show must go on, and we're continuing to, you know, reach out. So we had a meeting with the Salishan Neighborhood Association on January 8th last week. I thought it was a pretty great meeting. I would say there's 30 to 40 people there.
Oh, at least 40.
Yeah, at least 40 people there. And Mr. Harmon, the city manager, attended as well, so was able to give updates on city things, you know, besides just the comp plan update. And I thought it was very well received, and received a number of, you know, compliments and thank yous, you know, for attending after that meeting. We're also planning a community open house, our first open house for our comp plan update, which will be before the February 24th Blaine City Council meeting. So right before the meeting, we want to open up doors here at 4:30 for community open house and kind of just hear from the public about some of the important topics that are important to them, and we can, you know, have a discussion about that. And I'm looking forward to that. So that should be a good meeting, community open house on February 24th. We're going to be putting out an announcements and communicating with the public on that. So a couple things coming up, which are pretty exciting.
Mayor, I discussed with Mr. Lindor earlier that that time isn't exactly the media time for the majority of our working public, and wondered if it was possible that we could have a meeting at a different time that's more convenient so that more people could come and actually view it, because we're supposed to have very good public input, and I think it's pretty restricted by that. Is there any way we could do it later in the evening or on a weekend, like Saturday morning?
Mayor? I mean,
it works for you.
Anything, and we can have, we were planning a number of open houses. This is just the first open house. So I don't know if you want them.
Can you put a mic?
I don't know if you would like them all at that time, but that our first one is planned for 4:30, but we work at the, you know, direction of council to the city manager. But I think I would recommend maybe we can move forward with this first one and schedule another one on some different hours. Any other questions on that?
Let us now work that out with the church.
We're happy to move it back. You know, Alex and I will talk about it.
Sure. Okay. Well, up next, I'd like to tell you about this SEDS project, or the Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy. So this is actually a Whatcom County program that we coordinate with all the small cities, or all the cities, including Bellingham, in the county. And it's really managed through the Whatcom County Economic Development Team. It's a five-year plan. That's why it says 2022 to 2026. It's updated every year, but every 5 years is like a big strategic, you know, overhaul update. So we're just in one of the standard years. But it's a pretty great plan. That's the team that put it together, some of the best economic development folks with the Port of Bellingham. And there's some nice information in there. For example, you know, there's this SWOT analysis on Blaine, looking at you know, Blaine's strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. You know, there's just a bunch of great economic data in this plan. It's all publicly available. But what's kind of great about it is it takes all the big projects from the city's list and it kind of just puts them all in one list, and then we rank them. So this is the updated list right here. We're just showing you keep council updated. I can read over these real quick, but the Bell Road Railway grade separation, number one, downtown revitalization, well underway. Hopefully we could be wrapping that up soon. New wells at Blaine Wellfield, number three, Marine Drive improvements, four, number five, the Marine Park Master Plan, number six, actually it was six and seven and combined into one project on this slide, which is the Peace Portal Community Trail. When this plan was drafted, you know, linking Birch Bay and Blaine was a really big priority. Number seven, Wellfield Booster Pump Station, and then number eight just was moved back quite a bit, East Blaine Infrastructure Extension. And these two items, number three and number five, were new to the project list this year. And these are just based off our capital improvement plan. So just wanted to reflect this information and make sure council knew about this project. You can look all of this up on the port's website. It's pretty great information. Or if any of you need a link to that information, feel free to reach out to me. I'd be happy to provide that to you. That's it, just a quick update, so that's all I've got.
Sorry, Alex, just a quick question about the SWOT analysis there. It's a little into the weeds, maybe, but just for my own application. Under weaknesses, we've got the first three, lack of shovel-ready residential building lots, lack of affordable available housing options, and then lack of serviced industrial lots. So as far as a lack of shovel-ready residential lots, Is that something that's more on the onus of the owners of the lots, or are we not doing something in the city that we need to be doing to make that easier?
I mean, I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, we want to encourage, you know, development to have building sites ready to go, but we can't make people come to the development table, right? So to your point, you know, the developers have to come out and propose stuff to us. Now we can change goals and policies in our comp plan to encourage different types of development. So it's a little bit of both. It's just kind of like a observation, if you will, like we don't have enough of this.
Sure.
Shovel-ready sites.
And as far as the lack of serviced industrial lots, it's a small town. Do we have some specific areas and acreages that people are like, hey, I'd really love to develop here, but they can't get services out there?
Yes. You know, I haven't had a lot of inquiries about that. Most of our industrial sites in town do have services, but they're just not there. There's not very many of them. So one could make a case that we should, you know, we could expand the city, annex land into the city, and then have it zoned for industrial uses, and, you know, and have that property serviced someday. A lot of our big industrial sites are really challenging to develop. There's wetlands and critical areas, and that just takes time to go through those review processes.
So it's not necessarily a lack of services to sites. It's a lack of having industrial sites within the city limits.
Yes, exactly right.
Is there going to be any progress on that wonderful idea of the land swap that you presented to council a few meetings back, where you shed a little bit of East Blaine and then take in some potentially light industrial area?
Yes, that's absolutely still our plan A. We just, you know, haven't been able to advance that quite yet. That's probably going to be at least a year-long effort, and so it'll be a relatively slow-moving project, I would say. But we're working on it still.
Toward Richard's question, you know, I know it takes a lot to annex people, but what does it take, kind of in a nutshell, to shed part of city limits, right? Like, what does that have to do as far as the people who live there and services that are provided and that kind of thing? Because that sounds like a plus or weak factor. So.
Want me to field that one? So we have reviewed that on kind of a preliminary level. So there's a number of entitlements out there. The Grandest Pond project, for example, has permits that are still valid that are coming up for expiration in July of this year. So not that far away, really. But to actually de-annex the property, once those entitlements are gone, we could put a ballot measure up to the people to de-annex.
In that area?
No, citywide, yeah. So citywide would vote on it. And it does need a super majority to pass, so 60%. But then that's basically it. If we can get a 60% supermajority vote, then we can de-annex.
Is that 60% of the people voting or 60% of the population of eligible voters?
I believe it's 60% of people voting.
Yeah, we did an annexation where I think there was only three people involved, and two of them said yes, because it was the city plan, and one house said yes, and the other guy was very angry with us, but we annexed. In short, it takes the support of this council, it takes the support of county council, and it takes a vote of the people to get it done. Based on the legal research that our attorney's done, it's never been done in Washington. We will be the first. But we've got a process. I would also note that the letter that I sent council that's going to Whatcom County Council speaks to and asks for the support of the Whatcom County Council in severing East Plain. So it's a process, but like Alex said, it will take some time. Not because we're dragging our feet, because it just takes time to get through this process.
And we are the only ones that are interested in doing it. So we might be the first, but we certainly won't be the last.
We are the tip of the spear in the land. That's correct.
So I just want to mention to the council, when you're talking about these projects and their priorities, we have a retreat coming up on the 21st of February, and this is a great opportunity for the council to openly discuss and bring these items forward and give your opinion and give feedback to the staff to indicate what your priorities are so that they know going forward. And that's the whole idea of the retreat. So just keep that. It's coming up very quickly. So. And then you have staffing update.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Yes, just a quick update that our Planner 1 position now is vacant. So that provides a challenge, reduction of approximately 33% of our planning staff, our frontline planner answering all the real estate questions and reviewing building permits and doing code enforcement. So we are doing a little bit of that work through a contract planning tech. It's keeping us going, keeping our code enforcement going. We're actually making pretty good progress on a number of items there. But just so council knows, our planning staff has been reduced temporarily until we can hire and fill the position.
So have we advertised?
No, the vacancy is quite recent.
Mayor, I want to jump in. One of the reasons we haven't advertised is because Alex and I and others are thinking through what do we do with code enforcement? That's a complex element of that position, and often the skill set of a Planner 1 and code enforcement officer aren't the same. And so we're thinking about, do we peel that off as a part-time code enforcement only position? Don't know yet, but there's some collective bargaining union issues that don't make it just as simple as peeling that off and doing it. So that's part of why we're going to take our time and think this through as we post.
Okay. Next, we have Finance Department, Vito.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So I wanted to give an update on the Tyler ERP Pro software. As you know, in October, we brought on the financials and bank reconciliation modules. And so now, here in January, we are working on purchasing inventory, work orders, fixed assets, and then all of those modules tie together so we can have live inventory tracking through the work order and purchase order modules. It ties it into the inventory. It's very exciting. And then in February, we'll be bringing on payroll live, and in March, utility billing. And then for our customers, residents of the city of Lane, you're going to have an online account and payment portal, so you'll be able to log on there and see your bill history and what your balance is without having to call the office, which is just really bringing us into the century. And then in August, the permitting module with CVS will be brought online, and then the last and smallest piece is the cemetery, which will be live November, December.
You don't see the
irony there, yeah.
Just saying. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, Chief, how are you going to top that one?
First of all, I have a staffing update. The police department currently has 3 unfilled positions. I'm excited to announce we have somebody that will be starting the academy next month. They'll be starting in the Northwest Regional Academy that is opening. It's in the Arlington area. It's a brand new academy. I'm excited. It's going to bring forth regional trainers. It should be a higher level of training than what we've been receiving typically. I have another person that is almost complete with the process. We're hoping they'll successfully complete the process, and there's a chance that we could also get them in the same academy class at the end of this month, so that's exciting news. I have one more opening, and I have some candidates that we're looking at for that. The other thing I want to talk about is I want to thank the council's support in what you provided the police department and give some recent examples of some events that are reflective of the support that we get and some of the equipment training that we get. Recently received a complaint from another agency. It was given to another agency about our agency and our officers through the use of body cameras, which we use Axon body cameras. I was able to watch all the footage and completely show that it was a false report, it was a false allegation, and completely closed the complaint immediately. It cleared up the time and effort of the other agency and of ours, and the whatever litigation or arguing or whatever that may be, it was a false report. Another training that we recently went to was a free training. It was local. It was a 40-hour critical incident team training, which teaches our officers to deal with people with behavioral health crisis. The officer that just completed that training went to an event with another officer where the subject used an improvised weapon and tried to attack our officers. They attempted to de-escalate, retreat back, create time and distance. Ultimately, they had to use a less lethal option, also an Axon device, a taser. There was no injuries to any officers or to the subject, and they were able to get him the help he needed. It was a behavioral health issue. So I just want to thank you for the support that you, by giving us the tools that we need to do our job, we're able to better provide service to our community in the, I would say, the least impactful way, impactful by force way. So I guess that's my effort to try to top her.
Okay, thank you. All right, there are some calendars. Is there any council unfinished business? Any council new business or dialogue?
Can I ask for clarification? I spent 2 hours at the senior center today, and they were quite concerned that they're a brand new organization. They just formed a new board and they're getting their act together. And they felt like the time was quite short for them to come up with a proposal. Is there anything in the works that allows them to request continuance to allow more time, or can they request that at the city council where we actually get those proposals?
Mayor. We could extend the deadline. My understanding is we've received a proposal already. We don't open them, so we don't know what's in the envelope, but it was our understanding that we've got a proposal already. We put a typical time frame out there. As Harpier said, we've got the bid for downtown. 3 weeks is pretty standard time frame to put an RFP or an RFQ out, and we followed our standard procedures. Of note, if we do push it back, we're under contract with the county to be providing those senior services, and so the city's somewhat at risk at not following through with our obligation to the county. However, it's my understanding that the senior center is providing those services anyway. So it is possible to push it back if, and we would push it back for everybody. We just need to be notified from the potential proposers if that's their desire. We can do that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, there is written public comment as always, and if there's no further business, I will adjourn the meeting at 6:49. Thank you.